Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this amazing congregation. Thank you for all these people. I'm so excited for them and what you have for us. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, would you come this morning? Would you come and speak into our hearts? With the truth of your word, where we have preconceived ideas this morning, would the truth of your word reign supreme? Where we disagree in our feelings and in our emotions with what is written, would you bring us into alignment with the truth? Father, I pray that we wouldn't just receive your words as self-help, that we wouldn't hear the Bible as wisdom, but we would receive it as the very word of God. Come by your power. Amen. If you know me at all, you'll know that I can be quite a frustrating person to follow or to lead because I question everything. Everything. All the time. And so I haven't been here in a while and I'd love to ask you a question. What are you doing here? What are you doing here this morning? Why are you here? Why are we here? I don't want to leave you in existential crisis. Relax. We will move forward. But these questions are important that we're asking ourselves and revisiting these things consistently because it can become about a whole bunch of other things. And sometimes we have to focus on what is actually some of the priorities of what we're doing here. But I want to ask you the question this morning and let it sink in. What are you doing? What are you doing in church? What are you doing in your relationship with Jesus? What is the purpose? Why? And we'll have various answers, and there's many ways. And I think there's sometimes we can point to a lot of symptoms. We could be like, oh, we are here to reach others. We are here to worship God. We're here to love each other. Am I right? No one wants to say anything because everyone's like, I can feel it's a trick question. It's not really a trick question. It's just a simple answer, and sometimes we get bored with the simple answer and we want to make it confusing and complicated. But actually, there is this truth, and I want to start with the misconception and then we'll talk about the truth. But there is this truth, which is that we're here to grow. I don't know about that. But not how you think. You see, one of the things we can look at is, and we can feel like this anytime there's a crowd-orientated thing, is that the church is here to grow. You are here to grow. But unfortunately, when we hear growth, we think some different things. And so the first one where I think we get it wrong is that we think the more the merrier, and we think that growth is all about numbers. Because the Bible does speak about numbers. Reach the nations. Make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey, going out, evangelism, preaching the gospel, inviting new people. By all means, there is an element of growth, but that is not the growth that we're here for. Jesus didn't say, and now I will build my church and it will be big and the gates of hell will not prevail. It's not about the wideness and the number and the variety of people. That's a symptom and it's pretty cool. But that's not the reason. The church is not here to grow in numbers. Because if you make it about growing in numbers, you'll change what you do to make sure that you achieve your goal. If it was about numbers, I promise you, we would have better looking people doing the upfront stuff. We would have better worship leaders. No, Mark, you're amazing. We wouldn't have better worship leaders. We would have had somebody take you to your comfortable seat. We wouldn't have put you on a plastic chair. We would have put you in a pew, a lazy boy, with your coffee being served to you. Church, if it was about just numbers, we would do different things. We'd give you the most motivating, encouraging things you've ever heard, not that you sit there feeling like you're cut to the heart. So if we're meant to grow and it's not about numbers, what is it? And I know what the wise among you are saying. No, we need to grow in our knowledge and our understanding. That's what church is about. That's why I want the meat. I want the good preaching. Don't give me the worship, the fluffy stuff with all you wild people raising your hands. I'm here for the meat. Give me the line by line experts. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Spiritually growing in our knowledge and our understanding, it's another great symptom. It's another great thing, a part of being, but it's not why we're here. If we were, we would do things differently. We would have Bible schools every single night. We would have Bible studies before church. We would have church predominantly consist of Bible teaching. We would have people who could teach the Bible better. We would have people who could really speak Hebrew and Greek and all the fancy stuff. It's not about growing your understanding and growing in knowledge. These are the extremes that if you look at the world, these are sometimes the churches that we see at an extreme. Those who are pushing for numbers or those who are pushing for the knowledge, the good stuff. And normally that loggerheads with each other. These guys are pointing at these guys are pointing at these guys. And that can happen in our hearts. I'd love to teach us what I think this morning we are meant to grow in. And so let's look at our Bibles. So 1 John 4, verse 17 to 19. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. We love each other because He loved us first. There's a statement that's repeated all through that verse, and it's the word perfect. But it's not what you think perfect. I say perfect, and you think Donovan's hair or his beard. Yes, you think that's perfect. No, no, the word is teleo. It's matured. It's grown up. It doesn't say perfect love as in it looks right. Perfect love means grown up love, mature love. And so actually I believe that the growth that the church is called to first and foremost, and we'll look at this, is that we would grow in our love. That the love of God would mature in us. That the way that you receive the love of God will change over the course of your life as you follow Him. Did you know that? Does a seed look like a tree? Does the person you marry look like the person you married on your wedding day? Alex and Kiara would be like, yeah, totally. It's like a week ago, totally. We've been married how many years? 15 years now. It's amazing considering I'm 28. We've been married 15 years, and I'm not going to say she does, I look very different to when we got married. There's more of me to love. We are completely different. Do you know that it's the same about the love of God in your life? From when you receive it as a seed, it is different to when you received it. When you received it, it was all about you. It's for God so loved the world. And when you hear world, it's like your second name. That He gave His only Son. He loved me. And I want to tell you this. This is how the seed comes. He did love you. He does love you. He did give His life for you. There is this incredible seed that Jesus, our Father in heaven, sent His only Son to come with His redeeming love to save us. But when that seed takes root in your life and it starts to grow, it changes. It stops being about you. It stops being about me, me, me. Have you noticed this with humans? Normally we start and end the same. When we start, babies are not very good at loving one another. Am I right? All the ladies and the moms are like, amen. That when they come to you, because that's how they come, right? They just come to you. It's all about them. When their stomach's sore, they scream. When they're hungry, they scream. When they want to sleep, they scream. When they don't want to sleep, they scream. And this is like our faith in the Lord. That when we come to Him at first, it's all about us. It's all about our lives. It's all about me. God, help me, bless me, keep me, shape me, save me, heal me. Give me a plan. Give me a future. Call me. Inspire me. Help me. Carry me. Where were you? Have you ever had that with your child? Like with the, I love that about kids. Like when you go away and you come back, the first reaction is always like, I nearly died. It was lunch at 12. And it's 12:15 and you didn't feed me. Like, where were you? Like, our faith starts like that with God. Jeez, Lord, I had a bad week. Where the heck were you? What were you doing? What was keeping you so preoccupied? Do you not see my life and what's going on here? I need some help down here. But actually, the Lord has called us to a grown-up love. And so this morning, what I'd love to tell you is this. In love, grow up. Church, it's time to grow up. The sad fact is this. You can get old without becoming mature. But you can't get mature without becoming old. It takes time for these things to happen. But that doesn't mean you mature just because you've been saved a very long time. I've seen some people who've been saved 2 years who have a far greater understanding of their walk with Jesus, that it's not all about them, than people have been saved for 20 years, and it's still all about me, myself, and I. And so I want to use that scripture this morning, and over the next few weeks, I want to talk about this subject for maybe the next 3 or 4 weeks. I'm going to talk about what does mature love look like. And I'm going to touch the surface on 3 things, and over the next 3 weeks, I'll do an in-depth on each one. But the first thing is this. Mature love produces a confidence in our relationship with God. As you grow up and as that seed of who He is and what He's done comes and takes root in your heart, and you receive His love and you receive His forgiveness, you find a confidence in your relationship with God. If you don't have a confidence in your relationship with God, it is a maturity problem. That immaturity is like, I'm out. Am I okay? Am I not okay? Can I pray? Can I not pray? I want to come to worship, but I did something bad this week. I can't really come to worship. I don't know where I stand all the time. This is a symptom of a love that is not mature. In verse 17, it says, by this love, perfected, grown, matured in us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. That the Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse 16, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive His mercy, and we will find His grace to help us when we need it most. Maturity, when you understand the love of God, when it has grown inside of you, it gives you a confidence in your relationship with Him. You lose the in and out and all about. And I want to tell you, I've been there. And at times I'm immature and I battle there. I can very easily have a negative ego state. I can very easily struggle to come to God if I don't think, I normally think I've done something wrong. It's like my default position. I just assume that in relationships even. It's just a part of my origin story. That the Lord is working in me by all means, and I want to mature despite that, but I can relate. It's easy to feel like unsure of this relationship with God. It requires maturity. It requires getting to know Him. It requires time with Him. We'll talk about how does this love mature, but mature love leads to a confidence. My youngest, if you know her, is the exact concept of confidence. when we took her to her first swimming lesson, she was young. How old is she? 2 or 3. And the others were already swimming in the pool, and she was the last to want to swim. And so we were like, shucks, we were just before we moved to Cape Town, we were like, we need to get this child pool safe. We need to teach her how to swim. It's a bit of a problem. So we're like, Misha, your sisters are doing swimming lessons. We're going to start teaching you to swim. And she goes, no, I don't need to learn. I know how to swim. No, Daddy, I can't. I'm almost like, don't worry, I can swim. No, my baby, we know you can bath. Like, but swimming is a little different, you know. We didn't have a pool at home. So she's like, no, I can swim. So we take her to her first swimming lesson, and it was more about the outfit than the lesson, actually. She had like this whole elaborate outfit that was on her. And we get there, and the teacher's on the other side of the pool finishing off the previous class, and then it's her turn. And she says, watch, Dad, I can swim. And she just jumps straight into the pool. And I watch her just go gloop to the bottom. And at the bottom of the pool, I'm just watching these blue eyes look up at me with her hand up like this. So I panicked, and I grab her, and I pull up her arm. So she's just hanging by an arm as I pull her up. And as I pull up, she's like, you see, I did it. Like, my child, that doesn't count as swimming. That's sinking. I'm not always going to be there to pull you up. But in her mind, I'm covered. I've got this sorted. There is that type of confidence that the Lord would want us in our relationship to have with Him. That when you're in the middle of the deep end, you just got this confidence that I'm going to be okay. God's okay. Heaven didn't shake when I had a bad mood. God isn't nervous. God isn't angry and upset with me. I can have a confidence in who He is, that as I read my Bible, as I study, as I grow in my faith, as I mature, I understand that I can have confidence in Him and who He is, that what the Bible says is true about Him. And if you don't have a confidence, it's because you don't know Him. You, an immature believer, is led by their feelings. He's greater than our feelings. It's an incredible scripture. I'm going to get there. Don't know where it is. Romans 8 verse 15 says, you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's spirit when He adopted you as His children. And now we call Him Abba, Father. For His spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Christian, if you're a believer, you are God's child. You are His problem. You're His responsibility. If you're drowning in the pool, it's His prerogative. It's His job to pull you out. You're His. Do you feel like that in your walk with God? Do you feel like, even when I'm in the middle of drowning, I'm His? Not, I wonder if He'll hear me today. I wonder if I can come towards Him. I'm going to worship Him like this. Mature love gives us confidence. Verse 17, because as He is, also we are in this world. Mature love is obedient. One of the symptoms of a believer who has grown in maturity is that they obey the Lord. They do the things that He tells them to do. Like, hey, hang on, wait. Whoa. Maturity, a symptom of maturity is obedience. Because of the confidence that I have in Him, it's not difficult to obey Him. It's a result of love. Love, not duty, love. 1 John 5, verse 1-3. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone, this is not written as deep and profound. This is written as a simple fact. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Oh, loving God is tough. I have to go to church and I have to put up with people. And Philip looked at me weird this morning and then he didn't greet me. And I haven't even been here in 6 weeks and he didn't say hi to me. Mature love, it overflows with obedience. It comes at the heart of, what can I do? What are you saying? Lord, direct my life. I want to love my wife rightly. Why do I want to do this so well? She's epic. Not always. Most of the time. I want to do this well because of my love for him. That mature love says, husbands, love your wives. Lay down your life for them. That's why I do it. And the Bible says, make disciples. I'm not like, oh, shucks. Fine, I'll make a disciple. Oh, fine, I'll give. Oh, I'll be generous. I'll lay down my life. I'll whatever, you know. His command, it's not hard to love. It's not hard to love other people. It's not hard to be generous. It's not burdensome. It's got a joy. It's not burdensome to work through conflict. Mature love is obedient. And it's not burdensome. I shouldn't have to challenge you in your Bible why you should open your home to strangers and people and show the love of God in your life. That's a given. It's a symptom of being a child of God. If everyone who loves him obeys him. It's not like a, you must. You must obey him to prove your love. It's a symptom. Everyone who has COVID had a cough. Everyone who loves God loves people. It's the mark. It's like weddings. Oh, I love this. I love the vows. I can't point to the last wedding because Donovan did the vows, so he didn't do it. And Bjorn and Dana, I think they're at teaching, so I'm not going to target them. Awkward. I think they're in the junior youth. I love going to a wedding because, man, those vows, right? I promise to be your best friend every morning. I'm like, shucks, we're going to have to help them. They're a liar. I promise to be your biggest fan. I'm like, I promise to always put you ahead of me. Normally when I'm doing those vows, I'm like, oh boy. I normally say this before, like, oh Lord, please don't hold them to this. And the intent is great. And the words are beautiful. But immature love talks the talk. Mature love is that she is my best friend. Mature love is 15 years later, I am her biggest fan. That she will love me for better or worse or sickness and health. I love that. I promise to take you, I vow to take you through sickness, but the other person hasn't even got sick yet. We don't know what this looks like. The first time he gets man for you, like, your Lord, I don't know about this. I was ready to handle every other ailment except man flu. It's like he's become paralyzed and stupid at the same time. How is it possible? I could take a disability, but this, I'm out. Immature love, I I will serve you. I will. Mature love. Look at people that have done that for decades and worked their way through it. Mature love walks the walk. It doesn't just talk the talk. It doesn't just talk about, yeah, we need to love one another. When's the last time you did that practically? When's the last time you had someone in your house and blessed them with a meal? I'd love to have you for dinner. Okay, what's the reason? Generally, if someone in the church invites you for a meal, they want something or they're going to say something. Now, when's the last time love was like, I want to open my home to you. I want to be hospitable. I want to reach. When's the last time you were just generous with people? That out of your, what God has given you, you just blessed someone? I'm not talking tithes and offerings. I'm talking about, it's a way that we love. I'll get this coffee. Mature love mirrors Jesus. Forgiving and loving our enemies. Reaching the needy in our community. Speaking the truth in love. Mature love looks like something. Not about me. It's about everybody else around me. If your life doesn't have an outflow, you're not maturing. You're not growing up. You'll be stuck in some loops. You'll struggle to mature if your life is all about you. Because in this world, you will have trouble. I love some of the mature answers you get from people when you ask, how's it going? Epic. Blessed. I often hear that from older generation. They don't say epic. Blessed. And you find out their life sucks. But they've learned that my life isn't about that. I'm blessed. I have a Father in heaven who I woke up this morning and I felt his pleasure. That my sin is forgiven. See, maturity is not walking away from salvation. It's keeping it at the forefront. It's that the cross is always before us. I live my life out of my salvation. My life is an overflow of what he's done for me. That it came to me as a seed and it took root in me and it started to grow. And by growing, it started to look like something. And as it started to look like something, it started to look like love towards others. That your service in the church doesn't become about how well you play the guitar. But actually, if I can sing and play guitar and help people in worship, it's for their sake that I'll do it. It's not about me looking cool. It's about me wanting to lead people in worship. I've watched this with Z's. I love the Gen Z's. I've watched this with them because band and music lost its flavor for them. Like music's electronic and cool to listen to and go to. But you find a lot of Z's and Alphas don't play instruments at all. And it's a super self-conscious thing and it's not cool. It's not about me. It's not what I want to do. But actually, worship is a way to serve others. Learning an instrument in a community where you don't have a worship team could be for the sake of others. Trust me, if I had to sing in community, I'm only doing it trying to bless you. Receive my blessing. Nicely. Don't be ugly. The third point. Mature love eliminates or expels the fear of punishment. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect, mature love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. This is an important aspect because when you say the fear of God, there are so many people you've got to hold all these tensions. Well, listen, I know you say perfect love costs our fear, but what about in the Bible? Every time God rocked up, people fell down as dead. There was shock and horror. People were afraid of God. Doesn't the Bible say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Do you know that if you go and read your Bible, most times when the Lord appears to his people, just caveat, his people, what's his first response when people respond in fear? Fear not. Fear not. The fear of the Lord is an understanding of who he is. He's not a genie in a bottle. He is Yahweh, the one, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. When you see him, you will fear. Trust me. When we come to him face to face, your first response is going to be one of, yo. But that is not the relationship that you live out with him. We don't live afraid of God. We don't live fearful of punishment. I am not afraid of the day of judgment. Are you? Are you afraid to stand before him at the end? I'm not afraid. I think I'm saying that now. I don't have a fear of punishment. I think in that moment, I'm definitely going to have the whoa, awe, reverence, fear. But I don't live as a believer afraid of him. I don't do things. I'm not motivated by a fear of going to hell. Hell is real. And if you haven't received Jesus, and if you aren't one of his children, people go there. By all means, I understand that. And I understand that I can mess this up. But if I look at him, I'm not afraid of the punishment of God. I don't live with the fear of the punishment of God over my life. I live with the confidence. Eternal life starts this side of death. It's that we would know him. I think there's definitely healthy fear and awe. But Christian, we don't live afraid, hiding from him, because that's what happens. When we're afraid, we hide. And when we hide, we make things worse. If you're afraid of punishment, you won't bring sin to him. You'll try and fix it yourself. I know this. I've done this. I do this. I want to do this at times. I have a fear of not being with him. I want to be with him. I want to be near him. I'm not afraid that if I bring my transgression, that he's going to squash me and stamp me and punish me. I've lived under the discipline of God. I've lived through it. It was only for my good. It was only loving. He disciplines those he loves. John 3:19, our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. This is what the Bible says about standing before God. That we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings. And he knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. Even if you feel guilty, he's greater than your feelings. But if you're able to understand that, you won't have the drama of the feelings that prevent the confidence. God, I'm confident in you. Because I know you. Because 1 John 1 verse 8, if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves. And we're not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from wickedness. You're not afraid of sin when you know the solution. When you know that your Father can forgive your sin, doesn't mean just go, it's okay. No, he can completely deal with all of the consequence of sin. He can remove it from you. That gives us a boldness. When you come in repentance, he is faithful and just to forgive us. I remember we were trying to determine the age this morning. Aaliyah was either 3 or 4. She was pretty young. We've had a lot of pets in our life, a lot. Like, the barnyard is a great nickname for our surname. Sam's always believed in the children having all the pets. So we've had dogs, cats, chickens, pig, guinea pigs. We've had them all at the same time. Chickens. And we didn't live in a farm. This was at a normal house. And when Aaliyah was young, we had at the back of our house, we had a guinea pig cage that we made for them. We put guinea pigs in there. Terrible things. Nasty little things. I understand the pig term in them. But like, they were cute. They're not cute. Those things are savages. Anyway, we had a guinea pig cage at the back of our house. And disclaimer, an animal does get harmed in this story. And so there was a guinea pig cage at the back, but she was pretty small. And these things could bite. I mean, they gave birth and they ate their babies. It was traumatizing for her. She's like, oh, we've got babies. Went back the next day, there were pieces of babies. I was like, sorry, baby. Trauma for my child that I didn't want to go through. Anyway, and so the guinea pig cage was quite hard to get in and out. And so the rule was, if you come to us, we'll take you to the guinea pig cage and put you in, and you can have time with them, and then we'll take you out. But my darling Aaliyah is quite misindependent from this big. And she wanted to let herself in. And I remember I didn't always go out there, and honestly, their noise irritated me. So I went out, like, I hadn't been there in 3 or 4 days. I remember going out at the back, and I looked into the guinea pig cage, and I saw that there was a heavy object on half a guinea pig. And the other half of the guinea pig was under the heavy object. I remember thinking, what has happened here? And I realized that this big box had been pushed to the side, and somebody had climbed in and out the guinea pig cage on their own, and in the process, ended the life of a little faithful guinea pig. And I remember at first, actually, my response was to be quite angry. I was like, you see, this is what I didn't want for her to happen. This is the problem, like, this is why she can't get along. This is why she's too small. And I remember coming to her and saying, Ali, probably sterner than that. Annie, Ali, have you been in the guinea pig cage? And she burst into tears. And she was devastated. And in that moment, it hit me. She was far more afraid of me in telling me than anything else. Because she was afraid what my response would be. So she hid it. And what that meant was this little 3-4-year-old for 3 days had been devastated by what had happened. And she didn't know how to fix it. She didn't know how to make it right. And her parents, who she's supposed to come to because they can solve the situation, because they can help her, she was afraid of me. And I remember in that moment thinking to myself, this is exactly like it is with the Lord. That we make a mess and we can sometimes do something super damaging. And because we're afraid of punishment, we hide. And we don't go towards him. We want to hide from him. We want to hide things from him. And instead, if you bring them to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us. That actually he can help you in that situation. That you don't have to go through it alone. That you don't have to be sitting in your pool of addiction and sin and shame thinking, I'll never get out. I don't know what to do. God's going to zap me. I don't know how to live. He wants to set you free. He wants to step in and help you in your situation. It doesn't matter the mess. Most of the time, I'm dealing with sin in people and in myself. The most damaging is when we hide things. And we hide things because we fear, we're afraid of punishment. And that is exactly what the enemy would love for us. That we would be more afraid of the punishment of God than compelled by the love for God that we have. One of the signs of maturity is that we don't fear punishment. We know him and we understand and we bring things to him. You don't hide things. This morning, I really do believe that there are hidden things that the Lord wants to set people free from. You don't have to hide from him. You don't have to be afraid of him. He is faithful. He's just. He's kind. And keeping those things hidden will keep you in a place of immaturity. Those heart attitudes, those, and I'm not even talking about the confessing to one another. I'm starting at the root. I'm saying, this is about you bringing things before the Lord. It starts there. Mark, I wonder if you can come up. Wherever he is there. In verse 19, at the end, it says this. And we love because he first loved us. And actually, this whole mature love and our love needs to grow and we need to mature and we need to grow up in Lord, it starts with this. He loved us first. That he came and found us first. That the expectation is not that you love people with a love that you've never received. If you're battling in this, it's because you haven't received. If you battle to love others, it's because you battle to receive love. Now, I don't mind people loving me. No. The outflow is determined by the inflow. The solution is not, God, help me love. No, it's God, show me love. Help me, Lord, to understand and grow in this love that you've put inside of me. That it might have started as just about me, but I've actually realized this is not just all about me. This is about you. This is about others. I wonder if we can stand together. I really felt this morning that the Lord wanted to take the moment, if we would give it to him this morning, to come and meet with us where we're at. And from worship, there's already been the Holy Spirit highlighting and saying that there's people dealing with certain things, and I'd love to pray and speak into those, and if you need prayer, pray for you. But I'd love to just give a moment for us to respond to the Lord. And the first thing is this. I feel like all of this doesn't make sense until you've received the love of God for yourself first. And it starts there. We love because he first loved us. And for some of us, the starting point this morning is you need to know as a seed that Jesus, that the Father loves you. That he sent his Son to die for you. That he would have you. That you would be his, that you would become his child, that you don't have to be afraid of him, that you can have a confidence in your relationship with him. But it starts with you responding to his love. And so I'd love to start by just saying, and we can bow our heads, this is not about us looking around, this is between you and the Lord. I'd love to make an opportunity this morning. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, you've never surrendered yourself, you've never said, I want to follow him. Lord, I want to receive your love. I want a relationship with God. Or maybe you have at some point in your life, maybe you went to Christian school or you grew up a Christian or you were raised a certain way. But as you stand right now, you're not living as a child of God. And you want to say this morning, Lord, I want to recommit my life to you. I want to come back to you. I want to grow in love. I want to be one of your children. If that's you this morning, if you're in either of those two categories, where you are, could you just raise your hand? I'd love to see where you are so I can pray with you this morning. Either you want to recommit your heart to him or you want to give your life to him. Please don't miss. This is not a look around. What's everyone doing? This is between you and the Lord this morning. I see that hand. I want you to know this morning that this love comes as a seed. It starts with He loves you. He loves you. And I think for others of us, as we're looking at some of these things, and we'll take more time over the coming weeks, there'll be more for us to respond to. But I wonder if we can pause and just say, and we're going to pray together, all of us. And we're going to, especially with that man who responded, we're going to pray together. Lord Jesus, I want to receive your love. I believe in you. I believe you can forgive me. I'm sorry. I need a Savior. Lord, I just pray that right now, would you come by your Spirit? Lord, you know exactly what you're doing in this moment. Would you pour out your Spirit right now? For the rest of us this morning, I felt like there's this urge coming from the Lord, which is that I want you to grow up. I want you to receive my love. I want you to become bold in your relationship with God. I want you to be live without fear of punishment. I want you to live a life that mirrors me. But it starts with a response from our side. It's we love, we respond because He initiated, because He loved. And so this morning, there's a starting point for all of us of saying like, Lord, I want you to mature me in my walk with you. I want to grow up to be more like you. I want to be more confident in my relationship with you. I don't want to hide from you. I don't want to be afraid of punishment. I want to have that confidence in my relationship with you. I don't want to always hide away and shy away when things don't go according to plan. Maybe you can respond to me. If that's you, let's just, where we are, raise our hands. Like, Holy Spirit, I want to pray. Would you come right now and just minister into our hearts? Lord, would you remove, would you come and bring a boldness and a confidence for our relationship with you? Lord, I pray that we would see that we are sons and daughters of the living God. Lord, that our lives would mirror you and reflect who you are. Lord, our heart's desire is, I want to follow you. Father, I want to know you. I want to be near you. So I'd love it if we could respond in a song, but as we do, it's not about singing the song. Maybe just take a moment now as we worship and speak to the Lord for yourself. Lord. And if you would love prayer while we're responding, if you would love prayer for something in specific, maybe you really do battle in a confidence. Maybe you really do battle with a fear. Even not even just fear of God. Maybe you battle with fear in this world. Maybe you have a fear of circumstances and situations. And maybe fear is something that the Lord wants to set you free from this morning. Maybe you want to come forward and ask someone to pray for you. Maybe you want to confess something or bring something into the light this morning. Don't miss the opportunity this morning. The Lord has come by His grace. He wants to meet with you this morning. He wants to reaffirm that He loves His children. Make space for them this morning. And so as you respond, if that's you, if you want to come to the front, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to give someone the opportunity to minister to you.